What wonder there is in that last stanza. It says, "He calls me his, and I call him mine, my God, my joy, and my light." Those are precious words indeed. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, or all the earth. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, shall sing unto thee. They shall sing unto thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God, for he is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net and laid affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks and goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from him. We know the Lord will bless his word to us. Did you notice in verse 6, the last phrase, talking there about God delivering his people, bringing them through the deep waters, a reference certainly to the Red Sea crossing. What did the people do as they were walking through? Were they in fear? Were they cowering? Were they wondering where their life jackets were? No. What it says there? They rejoiced in him. How could they do that? How could they go through a terrifying situation and yet rejoice in the Lord? Because his presence was with his people. That's how. Because they walked by faith. Because they understood what God could give them. Yes, not one weak one among his people, not one lame, but they went through on dry ground, and they rejoiced as they went, for God was with them. And you know, in every changing circumstance of our life, as we know God is with us, we can rejoice in him through that. We can thank Him for the hard days. Thank Him for the tough times. Because in the middle of it all, if God is with us, as the hymn writer said, we can smile at the storm. So, Christian, today, rejoice in Him. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, take this word we have read today and bless it to every heart. There is blessing in the reading of the word. And therefore, this morning we pray that our hearts would be overwhelmed and that we would rejoice ourselves as we walk through life, many days of rejoicing, and the sun is shining brightly. But other times, Lord, when the clouds may be around and the tempest is blowing and the storm is raging, yet we can rejoice, as Habakkuk said, when all else seems difficult, yet with God, Lord, with Thee with us, we can smile and rejoice. So hear our prayers now today. Bless the word to our hearts this morning. We ask all these things in our Savior's name. I'd like you to look, please, at verse 16 of this psalm. And these words that David said, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." There was a reason why David could say this. It was because he had been recounting what the Lord had done for His people. He had been thinking over and over and over the many historical accounts, and in for his own life, his real situations. And David had many of them. And so he was inviting God's people, inviting those who would listen to that word to come and hear. When we think about the people of God in history and how it's recorded for us of their willing praise unto God in times when things were not so right with them, other times when we have a picture in Revelation of the 24 elders as they are gathered around the throne of God, and what are they doing? Why, they are praising the one who is sitting on the throne. They are praising the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts. And they cast their crowns at His feet because they want no honor to themselves. They want no exaltation. You see, in glory, when we are before Christ, our whole desire is that He would receive all and we are to receive nothing. And yet that, I present to you, is really the heart of every child of God as we go through this pilgrim journey. That should be our heart. That should be our reality, the way of living, life. We give our praise, and anything that would come our direction, we would deflect to Him and say, "No, it is all because of what the Lord has done for me. It is not anything that is good within me." And so the theme of grateful praise that fills every redeemed heart. Every one of us, a vile sinner saved by the Lord's grace, we are justified before Him. We stand clean and right and declared holy in the eyes of God through the merit and work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know heaven, that will be a perfect place because in God's presence there is no abiding sin. In heaven, we are free from those things that set us back. We are free from every evil thought. My, what plague comes upon the mind of God's people? Evil thoughts that creep into the very sacred place of your prayer, of your quiet and solemn place. But that's where the devil comes to attack. and he brings those evil thoughts into you. But in glory, we will have perfect praise unto God. There will be perfect worship unto him. There will be that ceaseless praise. Well, that's what we have to look forward to, because we know that here and now we are greatly limited by these difficulties. Heaven will be a gathering place of all the saved from all time. And we will give thanksgiving and worship to him who has saved us for all eternity. We will be in perfect unity, not only with the Lord, of course, that's the main thing, but there will be perfect unity among true believers in Christ who are there. About all saved sinners, there will be no more divisions, no more deception, no more uncertainty, no more thinking evil of our brethren. No, it will be a place of perfect unity and peace. No jealousy and no backbiting at that time. I think one of our greatest regrets, as the hymn writer wrote, "I wish that I had given him more." That will be the theme of all our hearts. You know, as Christians, we have the privilege and the honor of spreading the Word of God, the news of salvation from sin, and the gift of everlasting life. That is our joy of sharing that. In fact, more than a joy, it's our duty. Yes, for every child of God, you may not be a minister, you may not be a missionary in an official sense, but you have a responsibility as a saved soul. And every Christian is an evangelist, and we must be about the Master's business. Telling what? Telling the news of salvation. Telling of what the Lord has done for us. That's the greatest message that is in the capacity of every saved sinner to give to mankind. It's the greatest message that we could present, the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive forevermore. He has saved my soul from sin, and he has declared that I will be with him forevermore. And so, speaking about Christ, sharing the message, it's not something that the ungodly have any part in. In fact, they don't want to have any part in it, but they have no right. They have no privilege of singing the song of the Lord. It is given to sinners saved by God's grace. And if that is you today, friend, then this is God's blessing and benefit to you to be able to speak for him and to speak of him. Now, last Lord's Day, I brought you a message from Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, a trap. And what that does, it ties our tongue and it silences our witness. But as Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And as Solomon said in the final part of Proverbs 29:25, "But whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe." And so as we think about doing God's work, let us not be crippled by the fear of man, but rather to be confident. David had the Holy Spirit as he spoke this psalm. And as he presented in verse 16 of Psalm 66, "Come and hear" was the invitation that he was giving. And it was a very simple yet compelling invitation. "Come and hear what God hath done for my soul." A message worth telling. A message that is worth hearing. There will be a true spirit of thanksgiving, free of all murmuring and complaining, when we are in glory and praising the Lord, as we are talking of the wonderful works of God and all he has done. And that same theme of the wonderful working of God that has been from all time among God's people, this is the message worth telling. It's a message that is worth hearing. and it spans all communication lines, because God has given to us that gift of presenting His Word in whatever nationality you come from, whatever sector of the world. The message of the gospel has gone out and been published far and wide. And so every saved soul can proclaim that message of truth. And what message will we tell? We will tell this, that God has chosen me before the foundation of the world. That He has chosen me and planned my salvation when I was not even thought of in a human perspective. This is a marvel of God's grace, and something, friends, that we cannot ever fully enter into, that God, as He was planning in His counsel of eternity, that He would bring this earth into existence and humanity would populate this world, God Himself purposed that He would save a people. And He chose me in Himself before the world was formed. And that is a wonder and a marvel that I cannot comprehend. Because, friend, it was nothing that I could do or that the Lord saw in me that was good, that recommended me to Him. The only thing that I had going for me then was that I was a sinner, defiled. And the Lord knew that I had nothing good in me, and yet still He set His love upon me. Friend, that is grace. That is grace of the highest dimension. That is grace that we cannot comprehend because our minds are finite. And yet the Lord loved me when I was unlovely and sinful. That grace that the Lord has chosen me is a message worth speaking about, because it is God's message. It is His word. And it's the greatest expression of His love to a lost people. People ask the question, if God created man perfect, why did He allow him to sin? And when you begin to ask questions of that nature, you're asking things that go beyond the revelation God has given. And friends, we don't have all of those answers right down pat to give the one-liners or to give the sound bites to answer the critics. But in God's sovereign and providential purpose and plan, yes, He created man and He created him perfect. But man rebelled and sinned against God. And we sinned in Adam. And yet God, in His great grace, chose us even before all that transpired. And He gave me to His Son. He gave all of His elect and chosen to His Son. And God the Father, we're told in John 6, verse 37, God gave a people unto Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Man, that is a great message of hope. Yesterday I was able to share that very thought with a man and told him the day that Christ revealed that truth to my own heart from John 6, 37. And the fact that when I came to the Lord, it wasn't the fact of me now saving myself. It was God in mercy keeping the word He had promised. For him that comes to the Lord, he will in no wise cast out. And friend, I say to you today, the invitation of the gospel message is open for you. Come to Christ this morning. Because as you come to Him and repent of your sin and receive Him, He will not turn you away. That is the promise of the Lord Jesus. And I can base my own testimony on that word that the Lord has given. He has chosen me. God the Father gave me to Christ. And He has saved me from an everlasting destruction and hell. Jonah, as he was in the belly of the whale, he cried out, "Salvation is of the Lord." And he was brought up from the bottom, brought up from the belly of hell. And God has delivered us, my friends, from a lost eternity. And we will never be cast off from the Lord. We will never be in a lost eternity. But friend, outside of Christ, that is exactly the destiny for all who are Christ rejectors. Let that not be found in your heart today. Oh, friend, flee from the wrath that is to come. Flee to Christ, for He has said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it's needful that everyone flees from sin. He has saved me from hell. And all the wonder of being cleansed from my sin. God has declared me to be pure. He has declared me to be holy. But it's not for any holiness that I have in myself. It is for the holiness of Christ that has been imputed to me. It has been applied to my life. And because of that imputation, that placing of the righteousness of Jesus on me, I now am free. And He has declared that I am righteous and holy. He has cleaned me from my sin. God in heaven looks down upon this sinner, saved by grace today, through the righteousness of His Son. And that is the wonder of grace and mercy and love. Friend, He has removed my guilt from me. I am now justified. And no devil and no accuser is able to separate me or declare me to be unrighteous, because God has declared me to be righteous before Him. That is the wonder of God's purpose, the wonder of grace, the wonder, friend, that we are today saved. And we do not keep our salvation. We could never keep it. Friend, if it was left up to us to maintain this, we would never be able to do it. It is God who has saved me, and the Lord who keeps me. And the Lord will keep me, because He has given to me a new nature. God has given me His nature. He has given His nature to every saved soul today. Friend, if you're going through troublesome times in your own salvation, if you're going through doubts about whether you are truly a Christian or not, has the devil plagued you and he's beaten you up with that stick of guilt and wondering, you've sinned away the day of grace and there's no more hope for you? I have been there. I know what that feeling is like. But it's the lie of the devil. Because whom God has justified, who is he that condemns? There is no condemnation that will be heard in the ears of God once He has declared a man to be holy through Christ. You are pure. You are clean. He has given to me a new nature. And therefore, friend, live in the light of the justifying grace of Christ every day. Because the more we live in that, the more we will become victorious in walking in the light of that truth. And we will rejoice in Him because we abide in Him. And we are walking with Him. And through the wall of water on both sides of you, as you're walking on dry ground, yes, you can rejoice in the midst of that, because you know God is with you and the Lord has given you new light, new hope, and new peace. And then we rejoice in all those things. And we say with the psalmist, "I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Savior often said these words, "For he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Don't close your ears off today, my friend. This is the word of Christ. Listen. Let the word sink down into your heart. Be not just a head Christian or a head believer, but rather be a heart believer. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You notice the invitation that we have in this verse. It says these words, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God." Because it is only true believers who have a genuine interest in the message of salvation and faith and sins forgiven and eternal life with Christ. But it's very sad when at times we find our own hearts very cold to the message of the gospel and the message of truth. And we have to rebuke ourselves, and we have to rebuke our indolence, rebuke our rejection of God's word, and say, "Lord, please open my heart, soften the hardness of my soul, breathe upon me with the warmth of your spirit, so that that hard, frozen heart will be melted and broken, so that I may receive again and rejoice with fresh power in the word that God has given to us." The word "come" in our verse is a word of invitation. It involves the action of the will. And there must be a turning of the feet toward the things of God. There must be an interest in spiritual things. And it will be evidenced by, well, not just coming, but hearing. And hearing about the Lord's works. Coming and hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the invitation that is given. But I wonder today, friend, if we have to say that my heart has been closed to God's word. My heart's been rather hard. Then what do we do? Just go on and let it be more hardened? No. Arrest that feeling now and pray that God will come and revive your own soul personally. That you will respond to this very invitation that is given to us. That you will be on the receiving end. You say, "Yes, I want to come and hear the word. Yes, I want to submit myself to the will of God for my life. Yes, I want my interest in spiritual things to be elevated, to be brought up, not to be down to the lowest common denominator." Why is it important to have your heart and your ear tuned to hear what God has for His people? Why is it so important? Because, friend, it will encourage you to praise God for your personal blessings. It will foster close fellowship with God's people and with other true Christians who want to hear that word. You will be a blessing to them. They will be a blessing to you. You'll want to be in God's presence of His people, in the company of the Lord's people, because it will strengthen you to stand each day in the day of present trials and discouragements, and you will be, by your testimony, able to lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, those that are troubled, depressed, those that are under the attack of the devil. Psalm 73 says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And as you receive that word, you'll be able to project that to the lives of other folks, and they will be blessed by you. As we come and hear and submit ourselves to the word, it will also enable us to be overcomers of the temptation that comes to us, the snare the devil plans to set in front of us. And the stronger you are in Christ, the closer you're walking with Him, the more consistent your own personal fellowship is, the less the devil will come in to be able to get through. It doesn't mean he will attack you less. Oh, he'll probably attack you more. But the closer that we are walking with Christ, the more we are in fellowship with Him, well, the less the devil is going to be able to break through and come into our life. But when we do not hear with the ear and the heart is not open to Him, what is it really a symbol of? Ingratitude is really at the top of the list. You think we become ungrateful for what the Lord has done for us when we fail to be responsive to His word. And then there's forgetfulness. We forget the past of what God has done for us. We forget the blessings that we have received. Ah, yes. And then, of course, there is deception. We begin to deceive ourselves, and we think that all is good and all is okay when all is not good and all is not okay. Let us think, friends, what has God done for these souls of ours? Well, what else does David say here in this verse? "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare." A declaration. Here is the privilege that God gives to His people. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. To declare, it means to speak with conviction. It is the word sophar, and it means to score something very firmly with a mark, to keep an accounting record, to tally. But it also has the meaning of preaching or testifying and showing something that's true. So you have an accounting, you're putting down the accuracy of the message. But you're going to take the accurate message and you're going to proclaim it. You're not going to distill it down. You're not going to water it down. You want to say, "This is God's word. I am a testimony of His grace. I want to tell that message." Now, it does not mean that you tell it with brashness. It does not mean that you tell it with cold heart and just a clinical way of presenting. No, because that's not the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is what He has done for me. I want to share that love of Christ with others. And I will declare. God has given me the privilege to declare. And I will declare, and I will say from my heart all that the Lord has meant to me and what He has done. I will hope continually and will yet praise Him more and more. My mouth will show forth Thy praise and Thy righteousness, Thy salvation from day to day, for I do not know the numbers of them. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of His righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. So how was David going to declare when he said, "Look, I'm going to speak about this matter"? Well, obviously, he's speaking by the writing that he has written down, the poem, the psalm. But David, before he got to that point, he would have been speaking this in his mind. Because God works through our minds, through our hearts, our souls, our spirit. And that's where praise begins. That's actually where the proclamation of His truth begins. It's right inside us. Because if we do not believe with conviction what we are saying, it'll just fall on deaf ears. It's when the Lord has touched our hearts When He has brought His truth with reality and power to us, then we're able to come and begin to make that declaration. I will declare. It's from a heart conviction. There are many imposters. There are many that are Christian salesmen. We're not selling the gospel. We're not coming to make that kind of presentation. This comes from within the soul of the Christian, within the heart of the believer, deep down inside, because of what the Lord has done for me, I want to show and to declare to others. We are commanded with our words, because once we have it well entrenched in our soul, our heart, we're thinking of these things, then we vocalize that. It comes out with our speech. Well, doesn't James say the tongue is a little member and it sets on fire the course of hell? Does a great deal of damage. The small part of our body that can steer a huge ship like the helm of a large vessel, our tongue can be used for much damage. But God has also given us the privilege to use it for much good. Therefore, pray that our speech will be seasoned with grace, that we will have the salt of the Lord in us. We are commanded in the New Testament to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Perhaps you are saying in your own mind right now, I'm very shy. I cannot do this. I find speaking to people about the Lord a very difficult challenge. I don't have that gift. I don't have that talent. Well, before you sell yourself too short on that matter, do not allow yourself to hide behind that mask of your shyness, your embarrassment, because there are times you find in your own experience when you can talk a lot about things that are close to you. And sometimes when you have a complaint, while you can speak about the complaints pretty easily, well, then let's think about praying that God would loose our tongue and take away from that natural shyness. Pray that He will enable us to be able to speak for Him in some way. Have you prayed about that? Have you asked the Lord to open a door and lead you in to just give testimony of what the Lord means to you? A simple word, maybe that's all it would take for the Holy Spirit to take that word, to use it in the salvation of someone else. So our words are very important, and we can use our words in many wrong ways. Let us use them in many right ways and pray that God will make us His ministers of righteousness. And of course, by our actions, we are speaking all the time. And our actions are so often louder than our words. And aren't we all condemned by that? Each one of us. Because we say one thing, and yet in our lives, we find that it's not always worked out that way. And we have an ideal, we have a knowledge of what it should be, but when we examine our own hearts honestly, we find, I've come short here. This is not very good. And we know that we have sometimes double standards. Well, we're human, we're frail, we are made of dust. But let's not stop there. Rather, have an aspiration, have a desire to say, I want more, Lord, from this. I want my life and my action, my words to be equal. I want them to be the same for the Lord's glory. And so we pray that God would help us to declare His truth with purity and clarity, with a focus on the subject and the theme. There's much today that's spoken about apologetics, which means the open defending of Scripture truth against the many, atheists or agnostics, however you want to say, those who come against the Scripture. There is a place for apology or apologetics in the argument of truth. I don't deny that. But friends, by intellectual reasoning or argument, you will never
convince a person about the Lord. Defending the truth is important. Paul entered into that. When he went into the synagogue, as he went into a new town, he went there first of all to present Christ. And he would, from the Old Testament, he would reveal prophecy after prophecy and show that, yes, Jesus is the Messiah that was promised to come. Some would hear and God's Spirit would convict them and they would profess faith. And others would reject and turn away and they caused great grief to the apostle. So he used that point. But when we think about our testimony, the majority of time, you bring the matter directly, urgently, with all speed to the person of Christ. That's where you'll find, my friend, is your opportunity of witness. Because presenting the Lord Jesus as who He is and what He has come to do, and the fact that you know Him personally, He is your personal Lord, by that you are giving testimony to the theme of the Word of God from the beginning to the end. It is Christ that is to be exalted. It is the Lord Jesus that is to be presented, for this is the heart of God Himself. The Father is well pleased with His beloved Son. And therefore, when we speak well of the Savior, we speak well for our Father, and He is glorified. It is all about Him. It is not about us. John the Baptist said that he must increase, but I must decrease. Let that spirit and heart be upon every Christian as we say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Let's bow in prayer. As our heads are bowed this morning, it may be that you're here in the service or listening online and you're not sure about your faith. You've never publicly declared that you are a believer in Christ. You're not saved. Well, let me say to you today, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come to Christ this morning. Confess Him as your own Lord and Savior. And you will find Him open, willing, ready to receive you, friend. Don't put it off. How do you know how much time you have left? God in grace has given you today an opportunity to hear His word once more. Right where you are seated, call upon Him and ask Him to forgive your sin and to cleanse you, come into your heart. And Christian, today the Lord has spoken to you. In your heart, you know you need to be revived. You need to be brought back from the cold, backslidden state. Well, don't wait any longer. Seek Him. Call upon Him. The Lord has promised, I will draw near as you draw near to me. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's God's promise. And He will do what He says. Father, take today, we ask, Thy holy word and bless it to every heart. Lord, we know our limitations. And we pray that in spite of that, that You will use us. So help us, Lord, we pray. Direct us. Keep us. Let us not wander. Lord, we are sheep that wander. Let us come back and stay near to our shepherd. So bless us now today. Keep us in the Spirit on thy day. Bring us back again to thy house tonight, we pray, with rejoicing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.